Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Modern Cotton Story, sponsored by E3 Sustainable Cotton. I'm Rachel Walters, BASF's Regional Grower and Channel Marketing Manager for North America Seeds and host of today's program. In fact, today's program is very special. We are announcing the new head of the E3 Sustainable Cotton Program. Also today, I'm joined by Bob Anishak, Industry Consultant. So, Bob, how are you today?
Rachel, I'm doing very well. Hope you are also.
Thanks, Bob. I am, and glad to hear you are. I am so happy today to introduce to you all of you Ray Daniels, BASF's newly appointed Seed Sustainability Manager for North America Seeds and manager of the E3 Sustainable Cotton Platform. We're so excited to have Ray on board. So with that, I would like to welcome Ray to our podcast.
Thank you, Rachel, and thank you, Bob. It's good to be here. It's been a great first week here with our team at BASF, and I got to tell you, the weather here, both in Raleigh and Atlanta, is hot. It is summertime in the South, and I think we're getting into the dog days of summer now, so heat, humidity, and afternoon thunderstorms are in order, but it has been a great first week. It's a great first week for many things as well, not just being here with our BASF team, but also, for me, this is the first week my kids go back to school. So I can't tell you how excited I am to be both here on this podcast and for them to be in school. I know they're excited as well. But thank you both. It's been a great first week, and I'm really excited to be here.
Oh, Ray, well, I'm excited you are here. And I can relate to the kids being back in school. Two of my four are back in and seem to be adjusting well to new schools, new and new grades. So I hope the same for your kids as well. So Ray, long career in agriculture, and you all have a strong background in customer relations, B2B relationships, marketing, and business development. And you're also known and respected throughout many people in the agricultural space here in the U.S. But I believe you know that most of our listeners come from the textile and apparel industries. So this will be a new audience for you to get to know. So would you mind sharing a little bit about your background so they can learn more about you?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Well, I guess I can start with my roots. I would say I was born on a farm in western Pennsylvania, just east of Pittsburgh. My family there owns a small 200-acre farm where they grow corn, soybeans, and hay. We also raise beef cattle, and these days they lease out a few acres of land for windmills in support of renewable energy. So I kind of would say my roots come from the farm. However, I grew up in metro Atlanta, Georgia, and you know, living in a city in a big metro area, you kind of get away from the farm and understanding where things, your food and your clothing come from. So when it came time to go to college, I wanted to learn more about those things and, more importantly, the importance of them. So I attended the University of Georgia, where I studied agribusiness at the College of Agriculture and Environmental Sciences. After graduation, I went to work for a large firm in the ag chemistry industry, mainly focusing on environmental science, pest management, and including public health. Over the years, I have worked in sales, marketing, as you mentioned, business development, but also product management and some product development. And I ultimately finished that role as the head of marketing for North America, where I oversaw all of our marketing and product management activities, as well as pricing. And additionally, I supported our product development teams in identifying new solutions for our customers, both from a chemistry perspective, but also from a digital technology perspective. And lastly, I had the chance to work a bit in a global capacity with both marketing and development teams on a variety of initiatives in the pest management and public health spaces, focusing on helping finding ways to reduce disease outbreaks via control of mostly their vector organism, the mosquito. Before joining BASF, I took a two-year detour into the fast-paced but also very complex world of healthcare with the intent to really diversify my career and my experience and really seek out new ideas and new ways of doing things that would help me augment my background, but also helped me tackle new challenges. But however, just like the days of, you know, after high school and thinking about what do you want to do with your life, I wanted to get back to my roots and get back to the farms and the fields and the the food and the fiber and the things that are so important to feeding, clothing, and really fueling our world. So that's kind of the tour of how I got here. And as I said before, I'm really excited to have this opportunity to really re-engage with our growers and really re-engage with actually all members of our supply chain, starting with E3 Sustainable Cotton.
Gosh, Ray, that's an amazing background, guy. Way to go. Was wondering, you talked a bit about sustainability, if I can get the word out. Was wondering if you could talk more about that.
Oh, sure. Well, sustainability, Bob, is, I know that can be a mouthful, and it can also mean a lot of things, too. But I'll start with saying, you know, throughout my career and, you know, personal life, probably starting actually when I was a kid in elementary school watching Captain Planet on TBS. If anybody out there remembers here in the U.S. that show, I think it had 5 seasons and it went away. But I have always had an eye and a desire to find ways to make our world a more environmentally sustainable place. Leading recycling programs to roadside trash pickups to even in my professional career, finding ways to reduce product package waste. Seeking lower impact chemistries, more sustainable chemistries, and even in some ways, sustainable investing. I've always had a passion for, you know, finding better ways to sustain and steward the world in which we live. In addition, I have a real heart and a passion for helping others. Throughout my professional career and my personal life, I try to find ways to help others in my community. And often that means working on behalf of my business, or working with others to bring resources, ideas, and most importantly, leadership to solve many, you know, social as well as environmental challenges. So when I think about sustainability, it is through this lens that I think about the ways in which we can harness the power of our organizations, our expertise, our industry, and ourselves to help make a positive impact in the world and the community around us.
A few follow-up questions, right? What are some of your goals for E3 as you take the reins of the program? And also, with so many textile and apparel firms and agricultural firms and farmers, of course, working hard to establish new environmentally sustainable practices, how do you see E3 expanding its leadership role in cotton?
Well, I will start by saying, Bob, that we can go high by going deep. And what I mean by that is really, I think when it comes to the sky's the limit when it comes to sustainability and the things we can do as an industry to continue finding ways to raise up a more economically viable and sustainable crop. We have so many opportunities to explore new ways to expand the standards in which we account for what, you know, is quote unquote sustainable cotton. And with the shift in the geopolitical and the supply chain landscape, we have opportunities to place U.S. grown sustainable cotton at the forefront of what textile mills and downstream producers choose when it comes to their choice in fiber. To do so, however, yeah, it's really broad, but to do so, however, we've got to go deep. And we have to deepen our reach in terms of our growers and suppliers choosing to use E3 or to choosing to enroll their cotton in the E3 program. We must go further, I think, in telling the story of how our growers and our textile manufacturers raise and trace their cotton. We really have to define and explain what it means to be sustainable and communicate that, and then back this up with verifiable, widely, you know, agreed on standards. And finally, most importantly, I think we have to find ways to work more closely with others in the industry who have the same goals and objectives. If we're truly intentional about scaling sustainable cotton and making a difference, increasing downstream demand as well as upstream supply, we have to work together with others who have the same mission. And when I say we, I start with us at BASF and then expand that out to our growers, our mills, our associations, and our business partners. We can't make the world a better place. We can't feed the world or clothe the world, make it a better place by doing it alone. It really does take a village, or in this case, every thread of the industry woven together to make this work.
Simple question for you, Ray. Why is E3 special, and what does E3 Sustainable Cotton mean to you?
Well, what makes E3 special? I mean, let me start with the fact that it's one of the first of its kind, right? And I think about it across the three areas: environmental, economic, and equitable. as I mentioned earlier, with a passion for sustainability and the environment, knowing that the cotton that we're growing, the products we're making with that have, a thought and an environmentally responsible way of stewarding that, the growth of that cotton is important. I think from an economic perspective, how that provides value to everybody in the supply chain from the grower on down, knowing that that is in many ways the economy is what drives and fuels our society. And so making sure that, we're able to provide something that has value for others and allows them to be able to grow and expand their own business and their own families is important. And finally, it's equitable. I think having a chance to for everybody to have a stake in that and ensuring that cotton can be accessed, it can be sourced, and it can be traced, and it has a very positive health and human environmental aspect to it as well. So I think about those three things, the E's, I think each one of them is what makes, again, E3 special. When it comes to E3, the E3 sustainable cotton itself, I think about the t-shirt I'm wearing right now. What goes into this? Where did this come from? Who made this? And what cost beyond simply the price is placed on the environment for this? And what about the people who made this? How were they treated fairly? Was the value that I paid for this shirt shared equitably across that chain? And what about the growers? They risk so much. They put so much hard work into that crop to make it what it is ensuring that we can have, from a sustainable cotton perspective, can we help provide the value that they really deserve and they need for the crop that they put so much work into. So I think about sustainable cotton, it really is first and foremost, it has three pillars that it stands on that are incredibly valuable and important to society, but also at the same time, it's scalable. And it means that we can continue to do this over and over in a positive and virtuous cycle.
Ray, the industrial supply chain that consumes cotton, whether it's E3 or cotton in general, is very competitive. And there are competing, of course, cotton programs, but also competing fibers, synthetics, artificial fibers, and so forth. And I was curious on your take on how do you factor that in terms of downstream demand and how E3 kind of can stand out in that crowded market?
I think, Bob, and that's a really great question. I think when I look at E3 versus say synthetic fibers in the market, how does that stand out? Well, when you're in a heavily commoditized space, and it's really comes down to the branding you have and what are you delivering and the quality of that, I think. And when I look at clothing or things potentially from a synthetic standpoint, it is potentially cheaper. It potentially has other things that, maybe of value for consumers. But at the end of the day, I think what is the long-term sustainability of that model? And secondly, what is how sustainable are those clothes and how long do they last? And so for me, I think about high quality, sustainable fiber is paramount to a supply chain that's coming under a lot of challenges from a geopolitical and, variety of other factors. And so ensuring that it's sourceable, it's sustainable, and the high quality is there, I think that fits with many of what those downstream manufacturers and producers will need to, again, sustain their business long term. When it comes to, you mentioned, competing cotton programs and a lot of other things around sustainability, I think we all have a similar goal in this. And so growing sustainable U.S. cotton is the key. So working together with various groups to achieve that will be pretty important to the success, not just of E3, but all overall cotton's place as a quality and sustainable fiber in the market.
Thanks for that, Ray. Can you tell me what it is about E3 cotton that makes it attractive for growers and textile mills customers around the world?
Well, I think when it comes to the value of E3 cotton for our growers, a lot of it has to do with giving that cotton a home downstream, right? Giving it somewhere to go and having creating a demand for, again, the high quality product that our growers put their time and their energy and their livelihoods into to produce. And so being able to have something that creates an additional value in the market that maybe can help a grower achieve a better price position or be able to carve themselves out as having something very unique and different from all the others. We talked about synthetic fibers is important. So I think for growers, it's creating that downstream demand for the fantastic crop that they're putting their time into and the fiber they're growing. As it relates to down, you know, textile custom mill customers around the world, I think about the traceability of E3, right? The fact that we know where it's made, the inputs that are going into it, and the other factors around work and the workers and the workplace environment, which, you know, various stakeholders have to engage. And for others around the world who are conscious about where did my clothing come from and does it come from a part of the world where, you know, human rights issues are rampant, right? Does it come from a part of the world where potentially, you know, environmental standards are not being upheld? I think that gives another example of traceability where, you know, textile mill customers from everywhere know that they have a reliable, true source that can be verified and pointed, and they can look back to and say, I know exactly where that came from and how it got here, and ensure that the product that they're delivering to their customers, whether it's, you know, reshoring shirts that are made offshore or whatnot, is a chance for those, gives them the confidence knowing that they have a strong market demand for where their end products are going to go.
Ray, I have a kind of a general question about agriculture, and I couch it that way because the world is going through a lot of change right now. We've had pandemics, we've got wars, a lot of strife, we have recessions, economic recessions now. I sound like I'm really, like Dr. Doom, right, guy? You know. So, but I'm wondering, you know, what's in your opinion, what are some of agriculture's greatest challenges and opportunities with all that other stuff in the background? And also, when it comes to E3, you know, how can E3 help U.S. growers navigate all of this?
Well, Bob, I'll start by saying I think that's a loaded question. There's a lot of ways you can take that. I would say, I'm going to be very positive here. I think in terms of the pandemic and all the other economic uncertainties, you know, we know we have a coming shortage of wheat, and then we're gonna have food shortages in you know Northern Africa and the Middle East potentially. In the coming winter, as well as the gas, you know, crisis and energy crisis in that part of the world. So where does agriculture play into that? I think one, being able to sustainably and continually produce food is going to be critical. I think here in the U.S., you know, from an export perspective, that will be even more critical because the demand for grain will continue to rise. Not only can we feed our own selves, but, you know, having the ability to feed others around the world is going to be important. So agriculture, just the importance of agriculture and the just supplying food alone is only going to increase. And doing that from a sustainable and scalable perspective is only going to get more important. So I think one of the biggest opportunities there is going to be how do we do it sustainably, but as well as scale it to a point where we can continue to produce the same results year in, year out, because the challenges from the pandemic and the supply chain disruptions and now war are only going to continue to send ripple effects, you know, through the years and the growing seasons to come. So, like I said, that's one of, I think, the agriculture industry's challenge, but also opportunities. When I think about the cotton market, you know, we've got, you know, a price crash and we have a severe drought in Texas, which is going to obviously create a shortage there in terms potentially an amount of cotton available. I think in some cases, E3 is a way for growers to add value back in to the product they're putting onto the market. I mean, we're, you know, sourcing and reshoring of textile manufacturing and production and milling is happening, right? So a chance to have that sustainable cotton here in the U.S. and it's traceable, one is a great way to kind of maybe push back against some of those lower prices, as well as some of the shortfalls from a global supply chain perspective, as well as that, you know, the drought in Texas. You know, we know with anything, when you have a lot of demand downstream and you got a limited supply, it can help increase the value you get for your product. So I would, you know, I'm not predicting price increases or anything here, but I would say that I think there's an opportunity if we get through some of where we are today to see potentially an even stronger demand for cotton as well as other U.S. Agricultural outputs. So I'm positive there, Bob. I mean, I know it's when you're in the thick of it, it looks to be, you know, the headwinds look to be really strong and challenging, but there is always a silver lining on the backside. And I think we just have to kind of hold the ship until we get there. And I think things will begin to turn around. And I think, again, from an E3 perspective, that will be one of the ways we can help growers and others continue to have a valuable, sustainable, and reliable, traceable source of cotton throughout their supply chains.
Oh, thank you, Bob, for being here with us today and assisting and helping with the podcast. And I'd also like to thank Ray for joining us today, especially in his first week of being willing to be a part of the podcast. We wanted to make it a priority that this listening community got to meet Ray in his first week. So, Ray, I really appreciate the discussion we had today. And on a personal note, I'll be stepping aside as the host of the Modern Cotton Story podcast after today's program. And Ray will be picking up that baton and continuing to lead the efforts to get great news out to our listening community. One other thing, too, as I was listening to Ray, that we have in common is we're both graduates of the University of Georgia College of Ag and Environmental Sciences. So it's really fun to be able to make that connection as well. So, Ray, I would like to ask you, what's the best way that people could reach out to you and either welcome you to BASF and the E3 Cotton Program, or if they have any further questions?
Well, thanks, Rachel. Yeah, it is always great to be on the program or share things with a fellow Georgia Bulldog here. But to reach out to me, the easiest way to connect would be reaching out through our e3cotton@basf.com email address. Those emails will obviously come to me, and I manage that email box. So I'd love to answer your questions there or reach out and connect and, you know, help hopefully make some new colleagues, some new friends, and really help help the industry grow and help us scale the sustainable cotton program. So please reach out, e3cotton@basf.com.
Thank you, Ray. And also I'd like to thank our listeners for joining us and hope you enjoyed our show. Should you have any questions about the E3 Cotton Program, please email Ray at e3cotton@basf.com. And please also continue to visit us on Instagram and Facebook at E3 Sustainable Cotton. See you next time.